The following study is a Wednesday night lesson given by Pastor Brett Metter at Athey Creek Christian Fellowship.
Well, I'm glad y'all came. I wasn't sure anybody would show up tonight. Okay, I've never asked this question, and I won't embarrass you, but anybody here for the first time of a Wednesday night? Their first time ever at a Wednesday night? Oh, man, I'm so sorry for you guys. Thanks for coming. You guys are amazing. You're like, why? What's the deal? Well, okay, I'll just explain it. We are in, as we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book through the Bible, we are in the longest genealogy in the history of humanity. Starting tonight, we're going to try to tackle a huge chunk of a genealogy. And this particular time through the Word, when the church started, we started in the Gospel of John back in 1996. And then it took us 13 years to get from John chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through the New Testament, into the Old, all the way through the Old Testament, back to the Gospel of John. One lap through the Bible as a church, verse by verse, took us 13 years. This time through, we're on like a 17 or 18 year course. And part of the reason for that is not that I'm just long-winded, but also this particular time through, we're not skipping one word in our reading through the Bible. Now, next time we might do more of a survey through Scripture, verse by verse, kind of like J. Vernon McGee or John Corson or some of the good through the Bible teachers that I love, you know. But for whatever reason, I just felt like the Lord had me to say we're going to read every word of every verse, which is kind of cool, but it's also a bit of a challenge. And it really hasn't been much of a challenge except for tonight. And we're going to really tackle some Hebrew names and what have you. And so that's why I asked if this is your first time. Welcome. you're getting trial by fire right here in this section of Scripture. So let's begin. 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 1, as we finished up 2 Kings last Wednesday night. All right. Let's get right to it. Verse 1 says, Adam, Sheth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, the first Hawaiian in the Bible, Jared, Henoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, if you would, these are the first part of this genealogy is kind of interesting. It's called the Antediluvian Fathers, or the genealogy of what's the antediluvian? Pre-flood is just a fancy way of saying during the flood and before. These are the patriarchs before that. And this part of the genealogy, it is kind of interesting, and I love this part, because if you recall when we went through this genealogy in the book of Genesis, we saw that these first names are kind of interesting. In fact, you can jot these down if you're fast, or you can, you know, look it up some other time. But, you know, when you look up the names of these first guys, the first 10 names that appear in the genealogy of Genesis takes us back to the very beginning of humanity. We start with Adam, the very first man, and go all the way through Noah to the flood. And those 10 names, the meanings of these first 10 names are kind of interesting. The first name, Adam, it means man. That's what Adam means. And then secondly, Seth, his name means appointed. And that's kind of a cool name, appointed. Enosh means an interesting name. You may not want to name your kids this. Subject to death. You name your kid, you've been given a death sentence. That's not a very nice name for a child. But that was Enosh's name, subject to death. Kenan, the fourth name there, means sorrowful. And Mahalalel, the Hawaiian dude, his name means from the presence of God. He came from the presence of God. Jared means one comes down. And Henoch means dedicated, same as Enoch, by the way. And Methuselah means dying, he shall send. Kind of an interesting name there. Dying, he shall send. Lamech means to the poor, brought very low. And Noah, his name means rest or comfort. Now you say, well, whoopee-doo, Brett, good job, and you went too fast. Well, you can download the teaching and jot it down later. But it's you say, what's the big deal about that? Well, it's interesting because in those very first names mentioned in Genesis and then also here in 1 Chronicles, listed the first 10 names of the pre-flood dudes, when you put their names all together, it reads like this. It says, man appointed, subject to death, sorrowful, from the presence of God, one comes down dedicated, dying, he shall send to the poor, brought very low, comfort and rest. That's the gospel message right there in the names of the first 10 guys of the list. Now, I've got things like that for all these names tonight. no, I'm just kidding. Because there's about 45,000 names we're going to read tonight. But I just wonder, you know, if we were able to look into the scriptures to the depth that they really reach, which I don't think we can, I think even in these genealogies, we'd find all kinds of hidden important spiritual truths. For the Bible's like an onion, layer upon layer. It's got information. And I love how even the gospel of Jesus Christ is kind of embedded in these first 10 guys of the listing here, of the genealogies. Kind of cool stuff. Now, all that to say, these 10 names, the first 10 guys, we start with Adam, the very beginner. And part of the genealogy's purpose is to link you to this genealogy. We're all descendants of Adam. And there's a problem with that because Adam was a big sinner and we got that genetic code in us. It's the sin gene and we were all born with it. And we're all sinners, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous, not even one. And really, Adam starts the whole thing off, and then the rest of the Bible is how to fix the problem of sin and death for humanity. The rest of the Bible kind of helps us see that God loves us, even though we're sinners. And that's what all these other names are going to help fill in the blanks of how God redeems humanity, purchases us back. So you start with Adam. Now, there's the first Adam in the Bible that we call the first Adam. Does anybody know who the last Adam is? It's Jesus. Paul the Apostle says the first Adam, the last Adam. The first Adam was Adam, Adam and Eve, the first sinner. But the last Adam is the one that comes and takes care of that atom bomb that was dropped in the Garden of Eden. And so really, Adam, the whole story, wants to lead us to Jesus Christ, who's the answer for the sinful plight of humanity, death, hell, destruction, all those things. It's all there, and that's what all these other names are going to help fill in the gaps of the stories, the events that would lead us to Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of Jesus things embedded in this genealogy. Let's see if you can think of things that are linked to Jesus as we go through some of these names. So you got the first 10, and then the sons of Noah are listed at the end of verse 4, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And we'll go through all their sons as well. Now, by the way, the author of this book of 1 Chronicles, you may wonder who it is. We don't really know. Probably, if you could say, there might be a real good guess. It'd be Ezra. And the reason we believe that is that it really is Jewish tradition. You know, the rabbis would teach that it was, you know, Ezra who penned this record of history, both the first 10 chapters of genealogies and all that, and then the rest of the stories by Ezra. After the Babylonian captivity, he would have penned this. So some people believe that. The Jews passed that down as tradition, so it's a likely possibility. But it was written, you know, approximately 400 B.C., and it focuses mostly on the life of David and Judah. You know, in 1 and 2 Kings, we focused on Judah, but also the northern 10 tribes of Israel. 1 Chronicles kind of leaves that part out for the most part. The northern 10 tribes doesn't really concern us too much in this reading. Well, verse 5, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tyrus. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Repet, and Targarma. And the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, and Kittim, and Dodanim. And the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Seba, and Havilah, and Sabta, and Rama, and Sabicha. And the sons of Raama, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be mighty upon the earth. Now pause for a second. Why does he get a little sentence, Nimrod? Well, he's a major player in the Bible story. And really in the world's history, it's not just biblical Christians and Jews who are into that. It's funny because Nimrod was the beginning, of course, of Babel, the Tower of Babel. But Nimrod was the guy that who went down in legend that started a whole pagan Babylonian religion. And we call it Mystery Babylon, perhaps, or this Babylonian religion that went through the ages. And it was really the dominant religion around that part of the world until Constantine, right around 300, you know, B.C. But all that to say, you know, this whole thing of the paganism of Babylon, you know, Semiramis, Tammuz, you know, all that stuff that we've talked about, that came from Nimrod. And we see him in the line here. Now, by the way, if you're interested, the sons of, you know, Ham, Shep, and Japheth, that's who we're kind of talking about. And we're going to see that the Hamites, or the sons of Ham, they all left after, you know, Noah and the flood. And the Hamites settled down and went down toward the Africa region of the world. And most of the people were Hamites that did that. And they are listed continually here in verse 11. We continue with the Hamites. Mizraim, verse 11, begat Ludim and Anamim and Lahabim and Naphtuhim and Pethrusim and Kasuhim, of whom came the Philistines, interestingly enough. The Philistines were Hamites. And Kaphthorim and Canaan begat Zidon, his firstborn, and Het, the Jebusite also, and Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Akrite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. So these are the sons of Ham that we just read about, settled more in the Africa regions. The Shemites are next, verse 17. They settled more in the Middle East regions of the world. The son, and that's why we call them Semitic, or Shemitic, Semitic people, which is kind of important. The sons of Shem, Elam, and Asher, verse 17, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram, and Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Meshech. And Arphaxad begat Shelah, and Shelah begat Eber, and unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, famous soccer player. Oh, that was Pele, sorry, different guy. Because in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Now, pause. There's a few things here that are kind of interesting. One is, who's this dude, Peleg? Because the earth, in his days, the earth was divided. There's all kinds of interesting speculation. We don't really know what that means. There's two possible scenarios that I've read about that are probably the most legitimate. But, you know, the continental shift and how, remember you learned how the earth kind of was all kind of one big landmass, but then you can see how it was sort of maybe ripped apart over time, or maybe some cataclysmic events that did that, you know, earthquake, plate tectonic shifting. It's kind of an interesting study. When did that happen? Well, it's interesting. Some would argue during the time of Peleg is when the earth divided. Now, the implications of that are interesting. Just would people even be able to survive those kind of cataclysmic events? I think they did. But it could have been horrible. Who knows? But some people say that's what it means when the earth was divided, the continental shift. Others say, no, that's too crazy. It was during the time of Babel where Peleg in his older years and what have you lived during the time when finally Babel was shifted and everybody was divided in their language and their tongue and everybody went their own ways. So those are the two scenarios of why they called his name Division. That's what Peleg means, is division. Another name that's interesting in verse 19 is the name Eber. And the reason Eber is interesting is that's the name where we actually ultimately get the word Hebrews. The Hebrews come from the name Eber. So kind of interesting. That, did you ever wonder, you know, the Jews, the Hebrews, there's interesting origins of those words. Eber is the beginning of the word Hebrew. Well, verse 20, and Joktan begat Almodad and Shileph and Hatzar Maveh and Jira, Hadorim, also Uzal and Dikla, and Ebal and Abinael and Shiva and Ophir and Havilah and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. Quite prolific dude was Joktan. Shem, verse 24. Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nahor, Terah, verse 27, Abram. The same is Abraham. Okay, so now we're getting into some familiar territory. By the way, if you've been going verse by verse, chapter by chapter with us through the Bible, a lot of these names will ring bells of people we've talked about in times past, which does make it a little more fun because there's imagery. That when I read this, there's images in my mind of the stories that these people, remind me of. But Abram is a big one that all of you know, the father of the Jews, Abraham. And then we get into his sons. And this was a major shift in the human history because it was at that point God chose a people for himself. God's chosen people, the Jews, through the line of Abraham. And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, these are the important notions of what God's plan for humanity would be. And it would be through the line of Abraham that not only would the Lord say, all the nations of the world will be blessed by you and your seed, Abraham. Question, how would the world be blessed by the Jews? Well, number the ways. We've done studies on the sciences and the arts, what the Jews have offered. There was one time I compared all the other, ethnic divisions of contributions to physics and chemistry and math and music and all kinds of things, artistry and stuff. And the Jews dominate by far, especially when it comes to the intellect. God has blessed the world through the Jews. But that's not really the blessing I think he's referring to for the most part. Through you, Abraham, and through your seed would the whole world be blessed, Genesis 12 tells us. And it would be because through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we'd eventually make it to David, the king of Jerusalem, king of Israel, who from his line, David, we'd eventually make it to Jesus Christ himself, which is kind of cool. Jesus was a Jew. I hope you know that. That's an important thing to know, that Jesus was a Jew. I think we Americans forget that sometimes. We think he was a California surfer, and he looked just like, some dude you'd find on the beach. No, he was a Jewish guy, and we have the Jews to thank for bringing in the Messiah through God's plan, and I'm thankful for that. This is where all that begins, right here in verse 27. Verse 28, the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. Notice that Isaac's mentioned first. Ishmael was the oldest. But Isaac gets named first, and there's a reason. He was the one who God chose, and Ishmael was the son of Hagar, not the son of Sarah. The child was supposed to be of Sarah and Abraham. So right there, verse 28 represents a huge conflict that we're still seeing today. The Arab-Israeli conflict started right there, Ishmael and Isaac. The descendants of Ishmael are the Arabs, and by the way, the Arabs believe they're descendants of Abraham and that they're the chosen people. And it's kind of an interesting debate when you go to, I remember riding in the taxi with my buddy in the country of Jordan over there, and his name was Rushdie, and we debated for hours about who was the true chosen one, Ishmael or was it Isaac? And interesting to hear his perspective on all that, but the Bible tells us the clear story that Isaac was the chosen son, and of him would come the Jews, God's chosen people. So that's why we're going to focus on the sons of Isaac mostly. So verse 29, these are their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebaioth, and Kedar, and Abdiel, and Mishsam, and Mishma, and Duma, Masa, Hadad, and Tama, Jetur, Naphish, and Nedima. These are the sons of Ishmael. Now, the sons of Keturah, Abraham's concubine, she bare Zimran, Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian. Midian's a notable name because you know the land of Midian. That's where Moses would eventually settle and become a shepherd for 40 years before he would lead the children of Israel. And his wife was a Midianite and stuff like that. So that, there's some recognizable names. She was technically an Arab, if you would, as a descendant of Ishmael. After Midian, there in middle of verse 32, and Ishbak, and Shua, and the sons of Jokshan, Sheba, and Dedan, and the sons of Midian, Ephah, and Epher, and Enoch, or Henoch, and Abida, Elda, And these are the sons of Keturah. And Abraham begat Isaac, the sons of Isaac, Esau, and Israel. So we got, it's interesting because here he's calling the Jacob Israel. Remember Israel had his name changed from, you know, sneaky or tricky one, heel snatcher, that's what Jacob means. And then the Lord changed his name to Israel, which means governed by God. And here in this context, the name Israel is used. It's interesting in the Bible, oftentimes when Jacob was in trouble or doing something naughty, the Lord would call him Jacob. And then when he was doing something right, he'd call him Israel. It's like your mom. Remember when your mom called you? But there was a certain way, like if she used your middle name, if she said Brett Evan Metter, I knew I was in big trouble. But that's the case here with Israel or Jacob, same guy. So, you know, Isaac begets Esau and Israel. That whole story, you guys know. Verse 35, the sons of Esau. Now, this is an important thing, verse 35. The Edomites are kind of an important people in the Bible. We'll kind of read their delineation here and then break it down a little bit. Verse 35, the sons of Esau, Eliphaz, Reuel, and Jeush, and Jaalam, and Korah. The sons of Eliphaz, Teman, and Omar, Zephi, and Gatam, Kenaz, and Timnah, and Amalek. The sons of Reuel, Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. And the sons of Seir, Lotan, and Shobal, and Zibeon, and Anah, and Dishan, and Ezer, and Dishan. And the sons of Lotan, Horai, and Homam. And Timnah was Lotan's sister. So get a sister kind of snuck in there, kind of interesting. Verse 40, the sons of Shobal, and Alion, Maahath, and Ebal, Shephi, and Onam, and the sons of Zibeon, Ayah, and Anna, the son of Anna, Dishon, and the sons of Dishon, Amran, and Eshban, and Ithran, and Kiran, the sons of Eber, Bilhan, and Zavan, and Jachin, and the sons of Dishon, Uz, and Aran. Now these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom. Wow, a regular sentence. This is great. Enjoy this. Now, these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom before any king reigned over the children of Israel. Bela, the sons of Beor, and the name of his city was Dihaba. And when Bela was dead, Jobab, the son of Zerah of Bozrah, reigned in his stead. Now, this is interesting because these are parts of the Edomites, the stories of the Edomites, or the descendants of Esau. And we're just kind of reading about how they sort of settled. So, verse 45, when Jobab was dead, Husham of the land of the Temanites reigned in his stead. Verse 46, and when Husham was dead, Hadad, the son of Bedad, which smote Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his stead, and the name of his city was Avit. And when Hadad was dead, Samlah of Masrekah reigned in his stead. And when Shamlah was dead, Shaul of Rehoboth by the river reigned in his stead. Anybody remember Rehoboth and what that was? It was where, remember, Isaac digged the wells. And the first well he named, you know, Strife. The second well he named Contention because people strove with those wells. But when he comes to this place, Rehoboth, he digs a well. Nobody strives there. And the word Rehoboth means there's room here for me. And so he dwells in Rehoboth where there was room. And it's a good word for us to remember to just keep digging, even when it's tough. And you don't give up just because there's strife or contention. That was there in Genesis, I believe it was 26, when we were studying the well of Rehoboth. Well, it says there in verse 48, there was Rehoboth by the river that reigned in his stead. That was named after that dude. Verse 49, and when Shaul was dead, Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, reigned in his stead. And when Baal-Hanan was dead, Hadad reigned in his stead, and the name of his city was Pai. And his wife's name was Mehet-Evel, the daughter of Metred, the daughter of Mizahab. And Hadad died also, verse 51. And the dukes of Edom were the Duke Timnah and Aliah, Duke of Jethet, Duke of Aholibama, Duke Elah, and Duke Pinon. Duke Kenaz, Duke Teman, Duke Mibzar, Duke Magdiel, Duke Iram. These are the dukes of Hazard. I mean, pardon me, the dukes of Edom, sorry. Now, these dukes, who are these dukes? Well, it's an interesting thing. The reason why the duke thing is mentioned here, and it's always in the context of the dukes of Edom, it's because of the way the government handled it. According to archaeological evidence, we even have the kingdom of Edom was founded during the 13th century B.C., and then the 4 centuries after its beginnings, the government changed from being run more kind of a tribal sort of government to more of a monarchy. And it was the kings of Edom, by the way, if you recall, who refused to let the Israelites pass through their country on the way to the promised land. There in Numbers chapter 20, we read about the Edomites saying, no, you can't go through this land. So they went through the land and wiped them all out and fought them in battle. It was kind of an interesting story back in the story of the Exodus. But anyway, the dukes, they're all the kind of the royalty of a monarchy that was begun there in the Edom, the descendants of Esau. Well, now we go, instead of Esau, now we go back to the more important of the two sons, Israel, or Jacob, and his descendants, because that's where we're going to keep following through to the line of the king. And so the Edomites, we're going to leave them in the dust. So verse 1 of chapter 2, these are the sons of Israel: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, and Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. Verse 3, the sons of Judah. So now we start with Judah. Now, Judah's an important tribe. We're going to see them mentioned here quite a bit because it's the tribe of Judah that becomes the most important. Question, who was the firstborn of Israel's sons? Not Judah. Reuben. But Reuben blew it, if you recall. Reuben was kind of a loser. I just got to say it that way. And God says, I'm not using you. You're out. And so that's why, even though Reuben gets listed first here in verse 1, Judah becomes the kind of the big dude because of who he is, and God just chose to use him. God chooses to use whoever he wants to. Human tradition was have the firstborn do everything, but it's funny how many times God doesn't use the firstborn. We'll see that. So now we focus on Judah, which is very uncharacteristic of tradition. They're skipping over Reuben for now. We're going to get to Reuben, but Judah goes first, verse 3. The sons of Judah, and Onan, and Shelah, which were born unto him of the daughter of Shua, the Canaanitess. And the firstborn of Judah, was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he, the Lord, slew him. Huh? Well, it's funny, because not only did God slay but he also slew Onan, if you recall. Kind of a horrible story there in Genesis chapter 38. We read about the descendants, the sons of Judah, and they were total, bad dudes. So God kills them. Now, if you have a problem with that, don't. God can do whatever he wants to do. And who knows what God was doing to save the line of Judah, to save the people of Israel. You know, it was in God's righteous way. And all I know is this, is we'll stand before God. When we see him, we'll know all this stuff, and we'll say, Lord, every decision you made was righteous and true. That's what the Bible says. We'll all say, everybody, the whole world will say, righteous and true are your judgments. There'll be no debate about that. Right now you're like, well, that's mean, poor and Onan. No, they were scoundrels and they were causing all kinds of trouble and they deserved the death penalty, if you recall the story. Well, verse 4, and Tamar, his daughter-in-law, bare him Phares and Zerah. All the sons of Judah were 5. The sons of Phares, Hezron, and Hamul. The sons of Zerah, Zimri, and Ethan, and Heman, and Kalkol, and Dara, 5 of them in all. And the sons of Carmi, Achar, the troubler of Israel. Does anyone know who Achar is? Right, Achan. It's another name, another spelling of Achan. Now, before people get all freaked out about spellings, there's a lot of things about this genealogy. I have to say this. This genealogy doesn't claim to be perfect. And by the way, not everybody's names are going to be listed in all of these genealogies. You say, well, Brett, well, then what good is it? Well, the purpose that the chronicler, whether it's Ezra or somebody else, the purpose is to show the main links and lineages through the royal line. In fact, it's kind of interesting because this whole genealogy is for mostly two kind of practical things. For number one, ministry. for the Levites, people knowing what their roles were and all that stuff, but also for prophecy as it relates to Jesus. So don't be troubled if you're one of those types, which we have some of you in our church, which I love you guys, the engineering minds. You know, some of you guys are at home mapping this stuff out. I had somebody come up to me Sunday and said, Brett, you should, for Wednesday night, you should do a chart and graph all this stuff out. I'm like, no. Because we're not even slightly, we've barely even scratched the surface of our 45,000 names that we're going to read tonight. There's not enough paper to write down this particular genealogy. But some of you, if you wish to do that, you can. But you will find gaps. I'm going to be honest with you. You'll find gaps. This isn't meant to be a perfectly filled up genealogy to the nth degree. Some people argue that there were some names lost because of the Babylonian, the 70 years of captivity and stuff like that. But there's enough preserved that still gives us some good legitimacy, especially as it relates to the Jesus Christ linked to the King of the Throne. Does that make sense? So I hope you guys don't get too hung up on every single little name. And then also the spelling. Some of the names, like Achan, is called Achar. It's the same thing with what we do with names. And we don't even have hundreds of years to split up those pronunciations of names. That's what happens when you take hundreds, even thousands of years, and pretty soon the names switch over with languages and stuff like that. So don't be too freaked out by that. Achar, in verse 7, is the same guy, Achan, the troubler of Israel, who transgressed in the thing accursed. Remember, there at Ai took the cursed thing. Well, verse 8, and the sons of Ethan, Azariah, the sons of also of Hezron, that were born unto him, Jerahmeel, and Ram, and Chalubai. And Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon, prince of the children of Judah. And Nashon begat Salma, and Salma begat Boaz. And Boaz begat, are we starting to get to somebody you recognize? Boaz. Does it make your heart? I mean, it's a little boring going through genealogy, but I'm weird, because I'm reading, okay, Boaz, Boaz, and then all of a sudden, oh, here comes, you know, somebody of real substance. We got, you know, some Boaz going here. And then verse 12, Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat, no, his firstborn, Eliab. Tricked you, didn't I? And Abinadab, and the second, and Shammah, the third, Nethaneel the fourth, Radai the fifth, Ozem the sixth, and David was the seventh. Isn't that interesting? The number of the Bible, God's number that he uses all throughout the scriptures, the seventh, the least likely to be king. And remember when Samuel stood with Nethaneel and Redai and Ozem and Eliab and Abinadab and Shammah and all these guys, he looked at, is this guy the king? No, no, no. Is that all you got? And they're like, yeah, so that's all my sons, Jesse says. Oh, well, wait, we got David out there watching the sheep. Yeah, go get him. So they get David, and it's like, this is going to be the king. I love this. They're so convinced that David couldn't be the king. They didn't even call him in to be seen of Samuel. But the Lord says, that's the dude. He's the one. I love that. It's a great story. David, the seventh of the sons. Well, it says in verse 16, David, whose sisters were Zeruiah and Abigail, and the sons of Zeruiah, Abishai, and Joab, and Eshiel, another bunch of names you probably remember from our stories of Joab, the bloodiest man of the Bible, or one of them. He was quite a warrior. You got to give him credit. Verse 17, and Abigail bare Amasa, and the father of Amasa was Jether, the Ishmaelite. In verse 18, and Caleb, the son of Hezron, begat children of Azubah, his wife, and of Jeriot. Her sons are these, Jeser and Shobab and Ardan. And when Azubah was dead, Caleb took unto him Ephrah, which bare him Hur. And Hur begat Uri, and Uri begat Bezaleel. Different Bezaleel. Does anybody remember who the first Bezaleel was? Come on, you artists. You artists, you should know this name, Bezaleel. He was the guy. Remember when they were making all the fancy stuff for the tabernacle and stuff? Bezaleel was the guy who was the artisan that was able to make all the fancy tapestries. And like he was just, you know, a total artsy dude. That's Bezaleel. But that's not the same Bezalel, but just a good Hebrew name here. Verse 21. And afterward, Hezron went to the daughter of Machir, the father of Gilead, whom he married when he was 60 years old. 60 years old, got married, older gentleman. And she bare him Segub. And Segub begat Jair, who had 23 cities in the land of Gilead. Man, this guy had 23 cities. That's a lot of cities. Kind of a powerful dude. Verse 23. He took Geshur and Aram and the towns of Jair from them with Kenat. And the towns thereof, even 70 cities, all these belonged to the sons of Machir, the father of Gilead. And after that, Hezron was dead in Caleb Ephratah. Then Abia, Hezron's wife, bare him Asher, the father of Tekoa. And the sons of Jeratmeel, the firstborn of Hezron, were Ram, the firstborn, Buna, and Oren, and Ozem, and Hijah. Jeratmeel had also another wife whose name was Atarah, and she was the mother of Onam. And the sons of Ram were firstborn of Jeratmeel were Maaz and Jamim and Iker. The sons of Onam were Shemaiah and Jadah, and the sons of Shemaiah Nadab and Abishur. And the name of the wife of Abishur was Abihail, and she bare him Aban and Molid. And the son of Nadab, Seled, and Apaim. And Seled died without children. And the sons of Apaim, Ishi. The sons of Ishi, Shedan. The sons of Shedan, Elai. And the sons of Jada, the brother of Shemaiah, Jether, and Jonathan. And Jether died without children. And the sons of Jonathan were Pelet and Zaza. And these were the sons of Jeratmeel. Now, I know sometimes it sounds like these are just names being made up. And so Zaza and Goofball and Sozo and Zizi and Wawa and Boo Boo. No, these are names that are all very common names for the most part in Israel. But the thing is, the reason we're kind of into this particular list, and it's such a long list, is because we're talking about David. So this line of David is very, very thorough, including Zaza and others. So, verse 34. Now, Shishan had no sons, but daughters. We have a few of you guys in the church. Big families of daughters. Those are great ones. I love those ones. But in Bible times, that was trouble, you know, if you didn't have sons, because that would carry on your lineage. But it's interesting, Shishan had no sons, but daughters, and Shishan had a servant, an Egyptian, whose name was Jarha. And Shishan gave his daughter to Jarha, his servant, to wife, and she bare him Attai. And Attai begat Nathan, and Nathan begat Zavad, and Zavad begat Ephlal, and Ephlal begat Obed, and Obed begat Jehu, and Jehu begat Azariah, and Azariah begat Helez, and Helez begat Eliasa, and Eliasa begat Sisamai, and Sisamai begat Shalum, and Shalum begat Jechamiah. And Jechamiah begat Elishama. Now the sons of Caleb, the brother of Jeratmeel, were Mesha, his firstborn, which was the father of Zeph. And the sons of Marisha, the father of Hebron, the sons of Hebron, Korah and Tapua and Rechem and Shema. Shema begat Reham and the father of Jorkoam. And Rechem begat Shammai. And the son of Shammai was Maon. And Maon was the father of Bet-Zur. And Ipah, Caleb's concubine, bare Haran, and Moza, and Gazez, and Haran begat Gazez, and the son of Jedai, and Regem, and Jotham, and Gishen, and Pelet, and Ipah, and Sheah. Maaka, Caleb's concubine, bare Sheber, and Terhalna. And she bare also Shephah, the father of Manah, Shiva, the father of Machbina, the father of Gibeah. The daughter of Caleb was Aksa. And these were the sons of Caleb, the son of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratah, Shobah, the father of Kirjath-Jearim. Salma, the father of Bethlehem. Hareph, the father of Beth-Gadir. And Shobal, the father of Kirjath-Jearim, had sons, Heroa and half of the Maahathites. Now, some of you might notice these names of people are also names of places. The reason, they're named after the people. That's the truth. And so Bethlehem, this guy in verse 51, is the guy who founded the town, O little town of Bethlehem. And again, that makes sense because David and Jesus, when he went to go and be taxed, he had to go to the place of his family's, you know, origins to be taxed. That's why they went to Bethlehem, because Mr. Bethlehem was in the line of David. Does that make sense? So it's all part of the big picture of everything. And also Kirjath-Jearim is a place that we talk about in the Bible quite a bit too, named after this dude. Let's see, verse 53, and the families of Kirjath-Jearim and the Ithrites and the Puites and the Shumathites and the Mishraites, of them came Zerithites and the Eshtauites, and the sons of Salma, Bethlehem, and Netophathites, Ataroth, the house of Joab, and half of the Mahathites and Zorites, and the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez, the Tirathites, and Shimeathites, and the Shukathites. These are the Kenites that came of Hamath, the father of the house of Rechab. So that's a tough chapter right there. We got another one that's even worse than that one coming up. But we made it through that chapter, and that's good. As we keep plugging away, now we get to go to the sons of David, because now we've covered the line of David through Judah, verses 3 all the way to 55 of chapter 2. Now we start with David and his line. Verse 1, now these were the sons of David, which were born unto him in Hebron. The firstborn, Amnon of Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess. The second, Daniel of Abigail, the Carmelitess. Remember Abigail, her foolish husband named Fool, Nabal. Beautiful woman was Abigail, and their first son's name was Daniel. There's another name, by the way, for Daniel, and it's Kiliab. Just kind of a freebie for you. So if you ever come across that, don't be shocked. Verse 2, the third, Absalom. Remember? Fabio. Right there. That's who Absalom was. The third, Absalom, the son of Maachah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth, Shephatiah of Abital. The sixth, Ithream by Eglah, his wife. These six were born unto him in Hebron, and there he reigned 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 30 and 3 years. And these were born unto him in Jerusalem. Notice the sons are divided, his Jerusalem kids and his Hebron kids. So after, you know, Joab took over the city of Jerusalem from the Jebusites, that's when David ruled there for 33 years, and now these are the sons born there. Verse 5, and these were born unto him in Jerusalem, Shimeah and Shobab and Nathan and Solomon, four of Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel, Ibhar also, and Elishama, and Eliphelet, and Nogah, and Nepheg, and Japhia, and Elishama, and Eliada, and Eliphelet, nine. These were all the sons of David, besides the sons of the concubines and Tamar, their sister. So it's if you know the stories, you know, Tamar is kind of another scary story of the Bible, and there's bad stuff. You know, the Lord didn't pull any punches when he told the story of David. There's all kinds of, you know, soap opera stuff we went through, and this is just the genealogy of it. But, you know, Bathsheba, or Bathshua, she's called here, you know, of course, she gives birth to Solomon, which is the one who ultimately takes the line of the throne. So that's why we're going to follow Solomon now, verse 10. It says, so Solomon's son was Rehoboam. Remember Rehoboam? Bad king after David. And Abia was his son, Asa his son, Jehoshaphat his son, Joram his son, Ahaziah his son, Joash his son, Amaziah his son, Azariah his son, Jotham his son, Ahaz his son, Hezekiah his son, Manasseh his son, Amon his son, Josiah his son. And the sons of Josiah were the firstborn, Johanan, and the second Jehoiakim, and the third Zedekiah, the fourth Shelun, and the sons of Jehoiakim, Jeconiah, his son, Zedekiah, his son. Now, this should all be very familiar if you've been going recently through the Bible. All these are the kings we've just been studying at length. A couple of them have some strange name changes. Remember, there was Jehoiakim, and then there was Jehoiachin. Jehoiachin here is called, if you recall, Jeconiah. I like to remember him Jehoiakim and Jehoiachin, just like Kim Jong-il and Kim Jong-un. Same kind of thing, father-son names. But the last one that we studied pretty much was verse 16, Zedekiah. And I remember his eyes were poked out, and he was dragged as the king to Babylon, where he didn't see Babylon, but he was in Babylon, just like the prophet said. Well, verse 17, the sons of Jeconiah, Asir, Salatiel, his son, Mekiram also, and Padiah, and Shenazar, Jechemiah, Hoshema, and Nedabiah. And the sons of Padiah were Zerubbabel and Shimei. The sons of Zerubbabel was Meshulam and Hananiah, the son, and Shalomit, their sister. And Hashuba and Ohel and Berechiah and Hasadiah, pretty much. Makes me hungry. Maybe we should go take a break, get some quesadillas. No, just kidding. Jushabe said five of all there, verse 21. And the sons of Hananiah, Pelatiah, and Josiah, the sons of Rephaiah, the sons of Arnon, the sons of Obadiah, the sons of Shechaniah. And this, verse 22, the sons of Shechaniah, Shemaiah, and the sons of Shemaiah, Hattush, and Igiel, and Beriah, and Neriah, and Shaphat, six. And the sons of Neariah, Lioenai. Too many syllables in one name, if you ask me. And Hezekiah, and Azrikam, three. And the sons of Lioenai were Hodiah, and Elishaib, and Peliah, and Akub, and Johanan, and Deliah, and Anani, seven. Whew, those are the tough names right there, if you ask me, in that section. Now, some of you might wonder, Brett, why are you pronouncing some of these names like the way you do? Because my buddy Steve, he always makes fun of me when I go to Israel, and he says, oh, Pastor Brett, you're not saying these words right. So I've been practicing, and if you hear me pronounce things, you're like, that's not the way it should be pronounced. There's some interesting rules in the Hebrew pronunciation that you'll find, and that's why I'm trying to use those things so Steve doesn't make as much fun of me, trying to pronounce these correctly. So if a name ends with a TH, it's usually a hard T sound. Just for pronunciation purposes, and a B is almost always a V sound. That's kind of some of the easy ones. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Now we start further on Judah and the genealogy of Judah. You said, Brett, didn't we already cover that? We gave you kind of the quick version because Judah has preeminence, but now we're going to kind of go into more of the Davidic line specifically in detail. And he returns to that line of Judah here, generally here, and he's basically trying to do this for two reasons, I think, to provide genealogical and geographical information. We're going to see both of those things in this Judah description, but also to show the preeminence of the role of the Davidic tribe of Judah, and that Jesus would have eventually come from this tribe. So that's why Judah gets so much press here in the genealogies. So let's muscle through chapter 4. It says in verse 1, the sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, and Carmi, and Hur, and Shobal. And Reiah, the son of Shobal, begat Jehat, and Jehat begat Ahumai and Lehad. These are the families of the Zorahites. Does anybody remember who one of the more famous Zorathite was? See, these genealogies, man, we got to study these harder. No, Samson came from this family. I like Samson, one of my favorite Bible characters. Verse 3, and these were of the father of Etam, Jezreel and Ishma and Idbash, and the name of their sister was Haz-el-el-Ponai, and Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Husha. These are the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratah, the father of Bethlehem. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Naarah, and Naarah bare him Ahuzam, and Hefer, and Temani, and Heahashtari. These were the sons of Naarah. The sons of Hela were Zeret, and Zeorah, and Etan. And Kaz begat Anub, and Zobiba, the families of Aharhel, the sons of Ahurim. And then verse 9 and 10, we don't have to read because we studied those on Sunday. Whew! The prayer of Jabez, what a great prayer it is, and it's important. But we also kind of looked at the other side of the coin, where can we all name it and claim the prayer of Jabez for ourselves and expect God to do exactly like he did for Jabez? Maybe, maybe not. God's will, that's what we all want, and that's what we should be praying for. Well, verse 11, after we read about Jabez, and Chaluv, the brother of Shua, begat Mehir, which was the father of Eshton. And Eshton begat Beth Rapha, and Pasea, and Tihina, the father of Arnahash. These are the men of Rechah. And the sons of Kenaz, Othniel, and Sariah, and the sons of Othniel, Harat, and Mio Noathai begat Oprah, Wimpri. And Sariah begat Joab, the father of the valley of Charashim, for they were craftsmen. Don't you love it? These guys get a little bit of ink here because they're craftsmen. The Lord notices these kinds of things. And I think we're going to see more of those before the night's over. People that get kind of notable little, you know, hey, look what these guys did. Verse 15, the sons of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Eru, Elah, Naam, the sons of Elah, even Kenaz, and the sons of Jahaliel, Ziph and Zipah, Tiriah and Azareel. The sons of Ezra were Jether and Mered and Epher and Jalon, and she bare Miriam and Shammai and Ishba, the father of Eshtimoah, and his wife Jehudijah bare Jared, the father of Gedor, and Heber, the father of Shoko, and Jukutiel, the father of Zanoah. And these are the sons of Bitia, the daughter of Pharaoh, which Mered took, and the sons of his wife Hodiah, the sister of Nahum, and the father of Keilah, the Garmite, and Eshtimoah, the Maacathite. The sons of Shimon were Ammon, and Rena, Benhanan, and Tilon. And the sons of Ishi were Zolet and Benzohet. Okay, got to take a break. A lot of names to read. Now, coming up here, we've got a description of who some of these people were. And what they did, notice with me, verse 21. The sons of Shelah, the son of Judah, were the father of Lekah, and Leada, the father of Marisha, and the families of the house of them that wrought fine linen of the house of Ashbia, and Jochim, and the men of Kozibah, and Joash, and Sarah, who had the dominion in Moab, and Jashubi Elim, El-Lehem, these are the ancient things. And these were the potters, and those that dwelt among plants and hedges, for they dwelt with the king for his work. Again, it's just always interesting. You got this long genealogy where nobody gets much said about them, except for these guys that are clipping the hedge, and some potters. And I like that because... you know, God notices all the stuff that we do, and not everybody can be famous. There was a poll that I read that millennials came out with the other day, And the millennials, one of the 60% of them said they wanted in their career to be famous. And that's kind of an interesting desire for millennials. Everybody wants to be famous, but there's only a few people that can really be famous. So I hope that not too many people are disappointed. Plus, I think fame is really overrated, from what I can tell from watching famous people. I'd rather not be a famous person and be one of these potters that God notices, or hedge trimmer, you know. Don't be freaked out about your legacy, leaving your legacy. Because even if you do leave a legacy, you know, even some of my favorite people in the world, their legacy often has some black spot on it or some sinful thing in it. And, you know, it all kind of comes out in the wash. I think somehow in heaven, the hedge trimmers and the potters, some of your translations, what do they put on there? Like linen, people that make linen and stuff. You know, the artisan people that are kind of behind the scenes, God notices them, and I believe he's going to reward them. And it's all going to come out sort of in the wash. I think God's going to know how much work you did and what you put into what you do, even if it's kind of behind the scenes. These guys get some press because they're hedge trimmers, and they do the work for the king. I love that. Good stuff. Well, verse 23 ends Judah and his line, and now we pick up the sons of Simeon, the brother of Judah, in verse 24. It says there, and the sons of Simeon were Nemuel and Jamin, and Jarib, Zerah, and Shaul, Shalem, his son, Mibsam, his son, Mishma, his son, and the sons of Mishma, Hamuel, his son, Zakur, his son, Shimei, his son. And Shimei had 16 sons and 6 daughters. But his brethren had not many children, neither did all their family multiply like the children of Judah. So while he was prolific, his kids said, "We're not having big families like that, like Dad." That's kind of what they did. Verse 28. So they dwelt at Beersheba, at Molada and Harzashual, and at Bilha, and at Ezem, and at Tolad, and at Bethuel, and at Hormah, and at Ziklag. What was the famous thing that happened at Ziklag? Anybody? Right. The city that, you know, where David and his men were from, remember that whole thing about them being off fighting the battles and their families were taken, happened at Ziklag. Well, verse 31, and Bethmar Kabot, and Hatzar Susim, and at Bet Ber Irai, and at Sha'arim, these were their cities unto the reign of David. And their villages were Etam, and Ain, Ramon, and Token, and Ashan, 5 cities, and all their villages were round about the same cities unto Baal. These were their habitations and their genealogy. So where they dwelt, where they, who they were related to, it's all right here. Verse 34, and Mishobav, and Jemlek, and Yosha, the son of Amaziah, and Joel, and Yehu, the son of Yosibah, the son of Siriah, the son of Asiel, and Elioenai, and Jaakobah, and Jesohiah, and Asaiah, and Adiel, and Jesimiel, and Benaiah. See, I made that one harder than I had to. Benaiah. And Ziza, there he is again, the son of Shephi, the son of Along, the son of Jediah, the son of Shimri, the son of Shemaiah. These are mentioned by their names, were princes in their families, and the house of their fathers increased greatly. So these are all the sons of Simeon. Are you guys still awake? Are we still there? You guys good? Need to stretch out a little bit, kind of loosen up? All right. Good. All right. Verse 39. And they went to the entrance of Gedor, even to the east side of the valley, to seek their pasture for their flocks. And they found fat pasture and good. And the land was wide and quiet and peaceable, for they of Ham had dwelt there of old. And these, written by name, came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and smote their tents and the habitations that were found there, and destroyed them utterly unto this day, and dwelt in their rooms because there was pasture there for their flocks. And some of them, even the sons of Simeon, 500 men went to Mount Seir, having for their captains Pelatiah and Neraiah and Nephiah and Uzziel, the sons of Ishti. And they smote the rest of the Amalekites that were escaped and dwelt there unto this day. So this ends Simeon. These people of Simeon, they went and wiped out these Amalekites and took all their homes, their tents, and lived there because it was a great place to raise cattle. And that's where they ended. Well, verse 1, moving right along, it says here in chapter 5, now the sons of Reuben, now this is the firstborn, he should have been listed first technically, but God had another plan. So now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. Interesting, this is a passage we can sort of camp out on right here if we wanted to, because who is the chief ruler that would come from the tribe of Judah? Notice your margin even puts it as prince. It's the same Hebrew word used in Daniel chapter 9 when it says the Messiah, the prince, shall come, talking about Jesus. So this is kind of a prophetic little part of the genealogy pointing us to Jesus Christ, because Reuben, his line was tainted. If you remember, the reason it says he defiled his father's bed is because he slept with his father's concubine, Bilhah. Remember that? And it was a horrible thing, and you know, it was ugly. It was part of the story. So the Lord blesses Joseph and his sons and says through the tribe of Judah will come the Messiah. Well, so we continue with the sons of Reuben. The sons, I say, of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, were Hanok and Palu, Hezron and Carmi, the sons of Joel, Shemaiah, his son, Gog, his son, Shimei, his son, Micah, his son, Reaiah, his son, Baal, his son, Bera, his son, whom Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, carried away captive. He was prince of the Reubenites. Now, we remember old Tiggy in our story, Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria. This is one of the times when the Assyrians came and took the Reubenites. Now, do you remember, question, where did the Reubenites settle? Right. They didn't go into the promised land, as it were, defined in that time of Moses, where it was crossing the Jordan River. They settled on the east side of the Jordan. They said, let's live here. This is a great place. Let's not go in. But Moses made them have their armed men go in and help take care. So the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, that's who we're going to be talking about here, those people that settled on the east side, and we'll see what happens to them, even in the genealogy here. So Tiglath-Pileser starts taking some of these people away. They're the first ones to go, the Reubenites. Verse 7. And his brethren, by their families, when the genealogy was their generations was reckoned, were the chief Jeiel and Zechariah. Verse 8. And Bela, the son of Azaz, the son of Shema, the son of Joel, who dwelt at Orer, even unto Nebo and Baalmeon. Anybody know where Nebo? What happened at Nebo? Right. Moses looked out over the land of Israel before the Lord took him and said, you can't go into the promised land. That's where he was, Mount Nebo. I'll take you to this place, Nebo, in November, if you're going to Israel with us. It's kind of a cool spot to go visit. Verse 9, and eastward he inhabited unto the entering of the wilderness from the river Euphrates, because their cattle were multiplied in the land of Gilead. And in the days of Saul, they made war with the Hagarites, who fell by their hand, and they dwell in their tents throughout all the east land of Gilead. So the Reubenites fought the Hagarites, and they just told us that, but now they're going to tell us some of the details of that situation. Verse 11, and the children of Gad dwelt over against them in the land of Bashan unto Salca, Joel, the chief, and Shapham, the next, and Jaanai and Shaphat and Bashan and their brethren in the house of their fathers were Michael and Meshulam and Sheba and Jorai and Jachin and Zia and Heber, 7. These are the children of Abihail, the son of Huri, the son of Jeroah, the son of Gilead, the son of Michael, the son of Jeshai, the son of Jado, the son of Buzz, Lightyear. Sorry, I shouldn't do that. That's bad. Verse 15. Ahi, the son of Abdiel, the son of Guni, the chief of the house of their fathers. And they dwelt in Gilead, in Bashan, in her towns, and in all the suburbs of Sharon, and upon their borders. These were all reckoned by genealogies in the days of Jotham, the king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, king of Israel. And the sons of Reuben, and the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, of valiant men, men able to bear buckler and sword and to shoot with bow and skillful in war, were 440,703 that went out to war. That's a lot of guys skilled with the bow, buckler, sword. These guys went to battle, over 400,000 guys. Verse 19, and they made war with the Hagarites, with Jether and Nephish and Nodab, and they were helped against them. And the Hagarites were delivered into their hand and all that were with them, for they cried unto God in the battle. And he was entreated of them because they put their trust in him. And they took away their cattle, of their camels, 50,000, their sheep, 250,000, of their donkeys, 2,000, and men, 100,000. So these are slaves, 100,000 slaves. But you either die in battle or you can get chopped up. They didn't have prisons. They didn't have anything like that. So they said, you're going to come with us and you're going to serve us. Verse 22, for there fell down many slain because the war was of God. And they dwelt in their steads until the captivity. So the Reubenites, Gadites, half-tribe of Manasseh kills all these Hagarites. But the reason is not because they had 400 plus thousand men that were skilled in battle. It's because they cried out to the Lord for help. And God heard them. And this is called the War of God in verse 22. Interesting description there. And these people lived in that place until they were taken off by the Assyrians. Verse 23, and the children of the half-tribe of Manasseh dwelt in the land. They increased from Bashan unto Baal Haron, and Senir unto Mount Hermon. Hermon is another place we go. Sometimes, if we're lucky, we can get the time to go up on Mount Hermon and take the ski lift up to the top, because it's where they snowboard and ski in Israel. Highest point in Israel, overlooks Syria, and it's an amazing place, Mount Hermon. It's also where probably the Matthew 17 Mount of Transfiguration took place. Great place, Mount Hermon. Verse 24, these were the heads of the house of their fathers, even Epher and Ishi and Eliel and Azrael and Jeremiah and Hodevah and Jadiel, mighty men of valor, famous men, and heads of the house of their fathers. And they transgressed against the God of their fathers and went a-whoring after the gods of the people of the land whom God destroyed before them. And the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul. That's just a short name for Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and the spirit of Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. And he carried them away, even the Reubenites and the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, and brought them to Halah and Hapvor and Hara and to the river Gozan until this day. Oh, we have time left. Now, we have, this is the long one. So let's take a vote. We can get this out of the way, man. This is the hardest one. Chapter 6 is the brutal one. We can get her done, and then we'll pick up chapter 7, and we'll get into some of the fun story stuff again in chapter 9 and 10. But this will leave some work to do next week. You guys want to tackle one more chapter? We can do this in six minutes, okay? Okay, maybe 7. Here we go. Chapter 6, verse 1. The sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Anybody know who one of the famous Kohathites were? Moses. And that's important because we're going to read the Kohathites. So verse 2. And the sons of Kohath, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. And the children of Amram, Aaron, and Moses, and Miriam. The sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. Remember its first church barbecue. Those two guys got burned out, literally. Eleazar and Ithamar. Eleazar begat Phinehas. Phinehas begat Abishua. These names are telling you a bunch of stories, right? You guys have all these stories. Remember Phinehas sticking the two people with a spear, the guy and the girl that were having, you know, open sex in front of the tabernacle? That was Phinehas. Brrr, stuck them through, both of them. We went through those stories all right here in these first four verses. Verse 5, and Abishua begat Buki. And Buki begat Uzi. By the way, Uzi, it means strength. There's a guy later that made a kind of an interesting weapon. It's a family of Israeli weapons, an open bolt rifle that was kind of turned into like a pistol. It's a famous gun you always see in the movies. It's this little tiny gun that's like a submachine gun. And then it also has a little thing you could pull out. Brett, why are you talking about this? Because we're going through genealogies and I needed something fun to talk about. So anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But the Uzi is an Israeli weapon. It's funny, the Israelis are always inventing new weaponry, just like in the old days. Even our own government uses Uzis. Remember when Ronald Reagan was shot by what's his name, Hinckley? You saw the Secret Service guys pull Uzis out and pull out the stocks. And, you know, I mean, these are Israeli, same name. It's a Hebrew name, Uzi. Just an FYI, something for you gun people. Sorry, we're going to miss our 7 minutes. I got to hurry. Let's see, Uzi, verse 6. And Uzi begat Zerahiah, and Zerahiah begat Meraiot, and Meraiot begat Amariah, and Amariah begat Ahitub, and Ahitub begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Ahimaaz, and Ahimaaz begat Azariah, and Azariah begat Johanan, and Johanan begat Azariah. He it is that executed the priest's office in the temple that Solomon built in Jerusalem. We studied that story. Verse 11, and Azariah begat Amariah, and Amariah begat Ahitub, and Ahitub begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Shalum, and Shalum begat Hilkiah, and Hilkiah begat Azariah, and Azariah begat Seraiah, and Seraiah begat Jehozadak. And Jehozadak went into captivity when the Lord carried away Judah and Jerusalem by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so these, chapter 6, I forgot to mention, important, sons of Levi. These are the people who would serve as priests in the temple. And this is one of the main reasons this genealogy is here, to say these are the people who administer in the temple. They were all taken by verse 15 to Nebi in Babylon. Verse 16, the sons of Levi, Gershom, Kohath, and Merari. These be the names of the sons of Gershom, Libni and Shimei. The sons of Kohath were Amram and Izhar and Hebron and Uziel. The sons of Merari, Mali and Mushi. These are the families of the Levites according to their fathers. Of Gershom, Libni, his son, Jahath, his son, Zimrah, his son, Joah, his son, Idu, his son, Zerah, his son, Jeat-Irai, his son. The sons of Kohath, Aminadab, and his son Korah, his son Asir, his son Elkanah, his son, and Ebiasaph, his son, and Asher, his son, Tehat, his son, Uriel, his son, Uzziah, his son, Shaul, his son, and the sons of Elkanah, Amasai, and Ahimot. As for Elkanah, the sons of Elkanah, Zophai, his son, Nahath, his son, Eliab, his son, Jeroham, his son, Elkanah, his son, and the sons of Samuel, the firstborn, Vashti and Aviah. So we're seeing Samuel there in the ministry of the priesthood. Verse 29, and the sons of Merari, Mali, Livni, the sons of Shimei, his son, Uzzah, his son, Shimei, his son, Haggiah, his son, Asaiah, his son. Now notice who these people are, these Levites that are just listed. Verse 31, these are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord after that the ark had rest. And they ministered before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the congregation with singing until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And then they waited on their office according to their order. So these were the musicians, the worship leaders there before the temple was built. Verse 33, and these are they. Now, by the way, some of you guys think worship is for sissies. Check this out, verse 33. And these are they that are waited on their children of the sons of the Kohathites, Heman, a singer. The son of Joel, the son of Shemuel. See, it's not for sissies, He-Man. You guys old enough to remember He-Man? He-Man, I remember the cartoons and all that stuff. Yeah, He-Man was actually a worship leader in the temple. And by the way, Psalm 88, one of the more depressing psalms He-Man wrote. But he gives you the answer at the very beginning of his psalm, in Psalm 88, when he starts it off, "O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee." At least he acknowledges that God is his salvation. Well, that's He-Man, singer. Verse 34, the son of Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Eliel, the son of Toa, the son of Zuf, the son of Elkanah, the son of Mahath, the son of Amasai, the son of Elkanah, the son of Joel, the son of Azariah, the son of Zephaniah, the son of Tehath, the son of Asir, the son of Evi Asaph, the son of Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and his brother Asaph, who stood on his right hand, even Asaph, the son of Berekah, the son of Shimeah, the son of Michael, the son of Baasiah, the son of Malchiah. Now, before we read on more sons, who is Asaph? Asaph is very notable. He wrote many of the Psalms, of the book of Psalms. David didn't write them all, but Asaph, He-Man, and a few others wrote some of the Psalms. Asaph was probably second to David in all those. Verse 41, the son of Ethni, the son of Zerah, the son of Adiah, the son of Etan, the son of Zimmah, the son of Shimei, the son of Jahath, the son of Gershom, the son of Levi, and their brethren, the sons of Merari, stood on the left hand. Ethan, the son of Kishi, the son of Abdi, the son of Maluk, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Amaziah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Amzi, the son of Bani, the son of Shamer, the son of Mali, the son of Mushi, the son of Merari, the son of Levi, their brethren also, the Levites, were appointed unto all manner of service of the tabernacle of the house of God. Why were these guys listed more than once? But you're wasting our time tonight. Well, no, they're listed here because of their positions and where they stood. The Lord wanted them to know where their role would be in the temple worship. And so as part of their structure. The Lord is, by the way, into order. Even Jesus was there on the Mount of Beatitudes. He had everybody sit down and made the disciples sit them down by number and organization. And the Bible says, let all things be done in the church decently and in order. And I think there's order throughout all the Bible that's kind of important. So now we move to verse 49, the sons of Aaron, the high priest. But Aaron, his sons, offered upon the altar of the burnt offering and on the altar of incense and were appointed for all the work of the place of most holy and to make an atonement for Israel according to all that Moses, the servant of God, had commanded. And these are the sons of Aaron. And sadly, a lot of these sons of Aaron who were going to be the next high priest were not the greatest of dudes through the ages, which is too bad. So it says the sons of Aaron, Eleazar, verse 50, his son, Phinehas, his son, Abishua, his son, Buki, his son, Uzi, his son, Zerahiah, his son, Meraiot, his son, Amariah, his son, Ahitub, his son, Zadok, his son, Ahimaaz, his son. Now these are their dwelling places throughout their castles, their coasts, the sons of Aaron, and their families of the Kohathites, for theirs was the lot. They gave them Hebron in the land of Judah and the suburbs thereof round about it. But the fields of the city and the villages thereof they gave to Caleb the son of Jephunneh. And to the sons of Aaron they gave to the cities of Judah, namely Hebron, the city of refuge. And Libnah was her suburbs, and Jatir and Eshtemoa with their suburbs, and Helen with their suburbs, Deber with her suburbs, and Ashan with her suburbs, and Bethshemesh with her suburbs, and out of the tribe of Benjamin, Geba with her suburbs, and Alimut with her suburbs, and Anatot with her suburbs, and all their cities throughout their families were 13 cities. And unto the sons of Kohath, which were left of the family of that tribe, were the cities given of the half-tribe, namely out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, by lot, 10 cities. And to the sons of Gershom throughout their families, out of the tribe of Issachar, out of the tribe of Asher, out of the tribe of Naphtali, out of the tribe of Manasseh, and in Bashan, their 13 cities. Unto the sons of Merari were given by lot throughout their families, out of the tribe of Reuben, out of the tribe of Gad, out of the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities. And the children of Israel gave to the Levites these cities with their suburbs, and they gave by lot out of the tribe of the children of Judah, and out of the tribe of the children of Simeon, out of the tribe of the children of Benjamin, these cities, which are called by their names. And the residue of the families of the sons of Kohath had cities of their coasts out of the tribe of Ephraim. And they gave unto them the cities of refuge, Shechem in Mount Ephraim of her suburbs, and gave also Gezer with her suburbs, and Jokmeam with her suburbs, and Beth Horon with her suburbs, and Ajalon and her suburbs, and Gat Rimon with her suburbs. Out of the half tribe of Manasseh, Aner with her suburbs, Bileam with her suburbs, the family of the remnant of the sons of Kohath. Unto the sons of Gershom were given out of the family of half the tribe of Manasseh, Golan, same place, Golan height, and Bashan with her suburbs, and Ashtaroth with her suburbs, and out of the tribe of Issachar, Kedesh with her suburbs, Dabarat with her suburbs, and Ramot with her suburbs, and Enem with her suburbs. Out of the tribe of Asher, Mashal with her suburbs, and Adon with her suburbs, and Hukuk with her suburbs, and Rehob with her suburbs. And out of the tribe of Naphtali, Kedesh in Galilee with her suburbs, and Hamon with her suburbs, and Kirjathaim with her suburbs. Unto the rest of the children of Merari were given out of the tribe of Zebulun, Rimmon and her suburbs, Tavor with her suburbs, and on the other side of Jordan by Jericho, on the east side of Jordan, were given them out of the tribe of Reuben, Bezer in the wilderness with her suburbs, Jasna with her suburbs, Kedemot with her suburbs, and Methaoth with her suburbs. And out of the tribe of Gad, Ramoth in Gilead with her suburbs, and Mahanaim with her suburbs, and Heshbon with her suburbs, and Jazer with her suburbs. There we go. We got it. It's a chapter 6. Yeah, thank you. I actually applaud you guys for sticking with me on this. You know, if I told my pastor buddies, yeah, we went through 1 Chronicles chapter 1 through 6 tonight, they'd say, did anybody show up? That's what I'm sure. They'd think there's no way anybody came to church to go through the genealogy. But you know what? There's a ton of stuff here we didn't cover, believe it or not. And you're welcome to make a lifelong study of what we just covered. But there are gems in there that we haven't, we didn't even talk about all the stuff that you can go through there, but for those of you that like studying these, even these locations where the tribes were given and all that, it is an interesting study to map that out, where they were all given, and we've got more to do. Chapter 7, 8 are a little more of the same thing. Fortunately, they're shorter chapters, and next week we'll be able to tackle those, Lord willing. And then chapter 9 and 10 is where the story kind of picks back up. And we're going to pick it up in chapter 10, where we left off at the end of 1 Samuel, the beginning of 2 Samuel, when Saul was killed and his son Jonathan. That's where the story's going to pick back up, and we're going to hear kind of a retelling of the story of Saul and Jonathan, which is good stuff. And Chronicles gives us some of the same stories, but also gives us some new information that we didn't get in the first reading of 1 2 Samuel, 1 2 Kings. So it'll be interesting to kind of cover those again. But I applaud you guys for tackling and sticking with me through these challenging passages. I don't know how this is going to come off on the radio program, but we'll see. Lord, we are thankful for your word. We do believe your word is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We believe that every verse is inspired by your spirit through the hand of it, whether it was Ezra or some other guy, some other person, Lord. We just acknowledge that your word has a depth to it that we don't even really begin to fathom. But Lord, we do want to read through these verses, and even not understanding all of this stuff or these places and names, Lord, I pray that your word would just do its powerful effect on our hearts and our minds, and that even as your word says, it's water that washes through our lives. So Lord, we just take time tonight and just get a big splash of cold water on this 105-degree night. Lord, we're thankful that we can be refreshed by the scriptures, even these tough scriptures, Lord. We find them to be a blessing. So we thank you. Give us understanding now. Bless these, your people, as we go our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To take advantage of our media ministry, we encourage you to visit us anytime at atheecreek.com, where we have all of Pastor Brett's Bible studies available as a free download.